to Women to Women. It's great to be here. It's session 4 already. We have some new ladies in the house this evening and we welcome you. It's wonderful to have you with us. My name's Debbie Orr. I'm one of the pastors here at Mossvale Community Church. We do church on a Sunday at 11 a.m. But we're open all day, every day of the week. Lots of things happening. I'm also the founder leader of this wonderful ministry, Women to Women, and I have an incredible team of core leaders. And just as I say that, I would like all the core leaders to stand up just where you're at. I can't see you all, but we've got a couple up the back. Everybody take a look around you. These are your core leaders at Women to Women, and they are here to serve you. If you have any questions on any of the events that Susan so wonderfully shared, these are the ladies to go and speak to, and there'll be a couple of them at the cross at the end. So if you've come here, you have a prayer need, you have a burden, you've got something that's weighing down heavy in your heart, do not leave tonight without going and allowing these lovely ladies to pray for you. So we are journeying through a series. We're looking at Abraham, because every year we lead at the start of the year with a new vision. This year we're looking at the heroes of our faith, those that are surrounding us, cheering us on. And we started the year looking at Abraham. And as I said, we're at the halfway point already in our study of Abraham. If you haven't been here for the series, do not worry. You can go on to the Mossvale Community Church website page. And on the front page, you not only have all the Sunday sermons here at Mossvale, but you also have the audio recording of all the Women to Women sessions so far this year. How good is that? So you can listen again. You can put it on in the car if you've got Bluetooth, and you can listen to everything that we've journeyed through so far. So we've been looking at this hero, Abraham, and we've been looking at him for guidance and for inspiration, because we too one day want to be known as a hero in the faith, do we not? Yeah, we want our children and our children's children and our grandchildren's grandchildren to sit in a coffee shop one day and say, I know Jesus because my great-great-great-granny loved him and she served him and she came to Women to Women every Thursday night because she could not wait to find out the next installment in the living Word of God. So we want to be heroes in the faith, and we are looking to Abraham in our first series of this new year. So far, what have we seen? Well, we've seen some great strengths in this man. We see a man of courage. We see a man of obedience. You know, he gave up his life. He gave up his location, and he trusted in God. He didn't know where he was going, but he had this simple faith and trust in God. He turned away from the gods of his ancestors, of his father, and those that he lived with, and he chose Yahweh, the one true God. So we see some great strengths in our man Abraham. We also hear that he is a man of faith, and he was a man of worship, because we've read of him building an altar for the Lord, worshipping God. He was a man that believed in worship. We've also heard, though, that he didn't always get it right, did he? There were times where he made mistakes, where he messed up, those DIY disasters. Is there anyone here that's ever made a mistake? Yeah, there's ever made a bad choice or a wrong decision? Yeah, well, we see that in Abraham's life. You know, just because they were heroes in the faith did not mean that they were superhuman. None of us are superhuman. But Abraham knew where to turn to when he did mess up. So we've studied together so far all of those bits and pieces about Abraham and his life. And so far, the titles that we've looked at is that he was a man that left everything behind. That was our first two-week series. Leave everything behind. In order to be a friend of God, that's what we're looking at. You have to leave it all behind. For some of us, it's our past. For some of us, it's those pent-up angers, frustrations, unforgiveness, resentment. We need to let it all go. That was our second title, let it all go. We saw last week that Abraham got himself in a bit of bother with his nephew Lot, and there was quarreling and there was arguing, and sometimes we just got to let it all go. Some battles are just not worth fighting. So tonight, after we've left it all behind and let it all go, we're going to fast forward a few chapters. We're in the book of Genesis. And the story of Abraham is a long one. It really is a long one. So I can encourage you, for the chapters and the bits of his life story that I'm skipping over, you don't need to skip over, because you can go home and you can Google them, or you can read them in your own Bible. And I encourage you to do that, because I can only cover so much. So we left him last week, and he just parted ways with his nephew Lot. Lot saw what he liked, he saw what he wanted, and he quite selfishly, he took it. And off he went, and he decided to go. Now, he was only allowed to go and seize what he wanted, but it's because Abraham chose to be the bigger man. He chose in that situation to say, do you know what? This is not my fault that we're ending up in this bickering and arguing, but I'm going to be the peacemaker. I'm going to make way for peace, because that's what's commanded of me as a son of God, is to make way for peace. And they were able to part ways in peace because of Abraham. So some time has now passed. Stay with me on the story now. So some time has passed, and Lot and his family and his servants, well, they're now living in a place called Sodom. Everyone say Sodom. Sodom. They're now living in a place called Sodom. And we read this in chapter 14 of Genesis. A battle has broken out between some kings. The king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, and three other kings. And they have come up against some other kings, four other kings in fact. And we read this in verse 11. The four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food, and they went away. They also carried off Abram. Now remember, he's Abram at this point, not Abraham. They also carried off Abram's nephew, Lot, and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. So he's no longer in that green pasture that he chose over Abraham. He's now living in Sodom. And let me tell you something. If you don't know the stories of Sodom and Gomorrah, let me just give you a little insight this evening. Sodom was a dangerous, sin-filled place. And this is where Lot, nephew of Abraham, has chosen to set up camp with his family. Only we read there that a battle has broke out, war has broke out between the kings. And not only have provisions and possessions been taken, stolen as what happens in war, but Lot, Abraham's nephew, has been carried off. He's been kidnapped by these people. So what did Abraham do when he heard the news? Well, think about this. You've been quarreling with a member of your family. They've really stuck the boot into you. They've been rotten to you. They've said some really horrible things to you. You decided, okay, to make a way for peace, we're going to part ways, but okay, you can go your way and I'll go my way, but we'll make peace. And then you hear that that individual is falling on hard times. Now, some might say that you could be sitting at home with your feet up with a cup of tea going, well, just deserves. That's what he deserves. He was a selfish wee so-and-so. Anyway, let's read what happens. When Abraham heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household. His household is grown pretty fast now. And he went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abraham divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and the other people. Amen. He put his own life in danger and the life of his men in danger to go in search of Lot, who was there through his own selfish ambitions in the first place, But laying that aside, he went out in pursuit. After all his disrespect and disloyalty towards Abraham, you would not blame Abraham from turning his back on him, but instead he puts his life at risk to go and search for him. What are we seeing here in this picture of this man, Abraham? He truly is a man of peace. He really is a man that does not hold grudges. Here's the thing. See, when you have forgiven someone, you no longer hold a grudge. You no longer feel resentment or bitterness towards that person. If you have gone through that process of forgiveness that we looked at last week, then there is no hardness in your heart towards them. And we spoke about relationships last week. Those relationships within our own families right now. Those relationships with our friends right now that are troubled, that are causing us pain. Those individuals that have hurt us and betrayed us. I wonder, would you have done what Abraham did for Lot, for that person that is troubling you right now? Are you willing to go the extra mile for that individual who, quite frankly, isn't willing to give you an inch? Are you prepared to do it? It's an interesting scenario. It links very much with last week's situation and overcoming the bitterness and anger and rage that we have for that other person in order to make way for peace. So we're going to move on now, and we're going to look at another chapter, chapter 18 now. What does God want to teach us in chapter 18 of Abraham? Well, our title for tonight is Lift Everything Up. We've left everything behind, we've let it all go, and tonight we are lifting everything up. Now, if you're being attentive this evening, you'll be thinking to yourself, chapter 18? What happened to those chapters between 14 and 18? Well, don't worry. We're not going to miss out on those big stories in Abraham's life. We're going to get to them at some point in this series, I promise you. So all those stories about Abraham and his wife Sarah and their fertility, we're going to get to all of that in this series, don't you worry. But we're fast forwarding a wee bit this evening. So let's take a pause in chapter 18. Lift everything up. If you haven't guessed already, tonight and tomorrow is all about communication. If you want to be like Abraham, a friend of God, then let me share with you this evening, communication is key. And I'm going to read a passage to you shortly. But in this passage, we'll see that Abraham was communicating with God. He was basically praying to God for Sodom. Yeah, that dangerous, sin-soaked place Abraham was lifting everything up to God for. And we communicate with God the same way. It's simple tonight. It's all about prayer. Now, I hope to do a whole series on prayer because I say that it's simple, but it's not really. Because some of us get ourselves in knots about it. Some of us don't know where to start. Some of us don't know what to say. Well, we're going to look a wee bit at that this evening. Prayer, let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer will change your life. It is transformational. You know, I say quite often, God is doing amazing things in this ministry. And he's doing amazing things here in this church at Mossville. And I should just say also, not everybody that comes to Women attends this church. We're all from very different churches and we love that here at Women to Women. But let me just say about prayer. I believe that God is doing great things here in this ministry and in Mossville, not because we turn up on a Sunday. I believe it's because what's prayed during the week. The people that are turning up on a Monday night and the people that are turning up on a Wednesday morning to pray together and for the team that meets together to pray for you all before you even arrive on a Thursday night and a Friday morning. Prayer changes the atmosphere. Did you hear that? Here, if you don't hear anything else tonight, take that home with you in your back pocket. Prayer changes everything. And if you're not praying, we're going to start praying. Because we're going to see the fruits in your life through prayer. Now, there are so many books about prayer. There's so many scriptures about prayer that I don't have time to go over tonight. But can I encourage you, if you really want to take your prayer life to the next level, then invest some time. Invest some time in learning how to pray. Now, my personal favourite books about prayer are by a woman called Stormy O'Martian. And it's O-M-A-R-T-I-A-N is her surname. And she has a whole series of books called The Power Of. Anybody read these books? The Power of a Praying Woman. The Power of a Praying Wife. The Power of a Praying Parent. Some of you might need to read that one right now, especially if you've got teenagers. The Power of a Praying Church. The Power of Praying Scripture. There's so many books that she has out, all based on prayer. Simple chapters. But let me tell you something. I read these books many, many years ago, and I still go back to them time after time. If I need something that particular day, I will go and I'll take that book off the shelf. I remember 17 years ago, in a couple of weeks' time, 17 years ago, I was in labour with Gabriella, who led us in worship this evening. And the minute I found out I was in labour, I went to my bookshelf and I got The Power of a Praying Mother off the shelf and I began to pray one of those chapters. It's these kind of books that you can just get to the end of the chapter and it has prayers for you. And little blank spaces for you where you can put your name in. And you can put your husband's name in. And you can put your children's name in. And you can put your colleague's name in. Or your church situation. And these books are fantastic. This is what I'm recommending this evening. Is to get yourself a book about prayer. And start to learn how to pray. Because it will change your life. It will change your marriage. It will change your family. It will change your church. So let me ask you, how would you rate your prayer life? How would you rate your own prayer life right now from a rate of 1 to 10? 1 being that you don't pray at all. 10, you'd be in heaven. Because you're right there with him. But he's here with us now. So how would you rate your prayer life on a 1 to 10? Have a wee think about that for a moment. Prayer is simply having a conversation with Daddy. It really is that simple. To be able to call on him as Father means that you know him. You know him intimately. You know him personally. That you are his, he is yours, that you can come freely without fear, without worry. And even if you've messed up, because listen, we come sometimes like that. We go, oh, Daddy, I've messed up and I'm sorry. And sometimes we don't want to come to him in prayer because we have messed up. But the best thing to do is just to get there and say, Daddy, I've messed up again. Please help me. Because he wants you to come. He invites you to come. He wants to hear your honest, heartfelt prayers. And communication with God is just like any other relationship that you are building in your life. The more you put in, the more you're going to get back out. The more you invest in that relationship, the more you're going to get out of it. You know, communication with God is a two-way street. You see, sometimes we come to God with our shopping list of prayers. I want, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need. Now, let me tell you something, ladies, that's okay. That's okay. God wants you to come. He wants you to bring your needs. He wants you to bring your wants and your desires. But what happens is we come to him and we, I want Daddy and I need Daddy and please do Daddy and thank you very much. Right, I'm off to Tesco's. It's one-sided. You see, the Father wants to talk to you. Yes, he wants to hear your desires. Yes, he wants to hear your hopes. Yes, he even wants to hear that shopping list of prayer that you've got because he cares for you. But he also wants to speak to you. He also wants you to linger. He wants you to shut up for a moment and be quiet and be still. You see, there's revelation that he wants to depart to you. There's truths that he wants to share with you. There's pictures that he wants you to see. And what do I always encourage about those pictures? Lean in. Lean in, ask the questions. What is this you're showing me? What is this you want to reveal to me? You might be sitting there and a wee song might come into your heart and you might want to just start singing it. Or maybe he starts to deposit a verse of scripture in your thoughts and you're thinking, right, I don't exactly know where that is in the Bible, but I'm going to write that down and then I'm going to Google it. That's God speaking to you. But if you do the, thanks God, I'm off for my bus, you've missed out on that. You see, relationship is a two-way thing. Daddy wants to hear your prayers, but he also wants to speak to you. So can I encourage you this week for your homework? When you're spending time with the Father in prayer, can I encourage you just to linger a little longer? For he has wonderful truths that he wants to share with you. So if you're here and you are new to prayer, can I encourage you just to get started? And if you're feeling right now that it feels a bit awkward because you perhaps don't know what to say, then that's okay. It's a bit like any new romantic relationship where couples go on dates with each other and they spend time getting to know each other. That's what it's like when you're getting to know the Father. We get to know his character, what he likes, what he doesn't like, how he feels about us. And you're maybe thinking to yourself, if you are new to the faith, you're maybe thinking, well, how do I do that? Well, we do that through reading his words. You see, the Word of God, the Bible, is like a love letter from the Father to you. It is full of his promises for you. It's full of his love for you. It's full of everything that he thinks about you. But what it's also full of is full of his character. So you will get to know God if you read his words. You will get to know God if you come to a church, any church, a good Christ-centered, Bible-based church. You don't need to come to this one. Just find yourself a good Christ-centered, Bible-based church and go and listen and receive. You will get to know God the Father through the preaching and through the teaching of his word. It's very simple stuff tonight. It's not heavy tonight. But let me tell you something. These basics, if you apply them to your life will explode in new ways. It is transformational, I promise you. Just get it started. You can't get it wrong. Abraham was called a friend of God. That's a pretty special title to be given. We heard over the last 2 weeks, if you're walking with Jesus, then you too are a friend of God. He knew God the Father in an intimate way. So here are a few tips for your prayer life. If you're just getting started out, here's a very well-known acronym called ACTS. It's very simple stuff, but I want to share it with you tonight because God impressed it upon my heart to share it with you. So A, we take A, adoration. If you're looking at how to start your prayers, there's no better place to start than giving God your devotion, telling him that you love him, giving him the glory and the honor and the praise in which he deserves. Is it because he's got a big ego and he needs us to, you know, tell him how awesome he is? No, of course it's not. But it allows us that moment to tell him how awesome he has been to me. Thank you, God, for that. C, confession. You know, perhaps you've got a list of prayers, needs, hopes, desires that you want to bring, your shopping list to God. That's fine, as I've already said. But see, before you bring that shopping list to God, if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord would not hear my prayers. So before I bring that prayer list of things that I'm going to ask God to do in my life, isn't it better to start off that prayer by saying, God, see, before I come before your holy throne of grace, I'm going to ask for forgiveness for the way I spoke to that checkout girl today. I'm going to ask for forgiveness, Lord, for the argument I've just had with my husband. I'm going to ask you, Lord, to forgive me for my sins, Lord. So that's A, adoration. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. If you're looking for a place to start in prayer, Thanksgiving is one of the best places to start. Because you might be thinking to yourself, these people that lie out on the floor and they pray for 3 hours at a time, how can they do that? I've only got 5 minutes worth of things to say. If you begin your prayers thanking God, let me tell you something, you'll be there for 3 hours. Thank you, God, for the breath in my body. Thank you, God, that I got out of bed today. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, that it didn't rain today. Thank you, God, that you saved me. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on a cross for me. And see, when you begin to thank God, before you know it, 3 hours have passed. And it's a wonderful way to develop that relationship with God through giving thanks. And then S. We finish this acronym with supplication. Now, you don't need to stop your prayers there. You can continue and you continue. But let's look at what supplication is. That is when we bring our requests. That is when we bring our shopping lists. Now, those prayers may be for yourself, or they may be for another. They may be for a world issue. They may be for your church. This is when you start to get into the specifics. And can I encourage you, be as specific as much as you want. Some people think that you can't actually go into detail with God. Of course you can go into detail. God, I've got a sore toe. It's my left one. It's underneath and it's burning. You can be specific. I don't actually have that. Is there anybody that has that actually out of interest? That would be interesting. We'll pray for you at the end. But you can be as specific as you want. You can bring that situation before God. No matter how embarrassing, you might never want to share that with another human being, but let me tell you something, you can share it with God. It might be too private, it might be too personal to share with anyone. That's fine, but you can bring it to God because nothing is too big for him and nothing is too small. So there are many different styles of prayer and ways to pray, and you will find out what works for you. But the most important thing is that you start to pray. That you start to speak to God. So Abraham prayed to his father. And in chapter 18, we see him praying a very specific prayer. This is called intercessory prayer. Now the dictionary definition for intercession is to intercede, which is to go or pass between or act between two parties. To mediate. To make intercession for. So this is when we are praying for someone else. They might not be able to pray right now. So you're going to be the go-between. You're going to stand in the gap. This is when we pray for others. I wonder, are there people that you're praying for right now? Raise your hand if you're praying for somebody right now. Maybe you're praying for their salvation. Maybe you're praying for their healing. Maybe you're praying for a breakthrough. Well, you are currently interceding for them. And the Hebrew definition of the word intercession is paga, P-A-G-A. And this word means to meet or to encounter or to join with the intercessor. You see, the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession. He is praying for you. Isn't that encouraging? That Jesus prays for us, but we can pray for others. And when we pray for others, I heard it once, it's like going cheek to cheek and a dance with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? That person that you're praying for, that person that needs a breakthrough, that person that needs a release, that person that needs salvation, you are praying for them cheek to cheek, dancing with the Holy Spirit, bringing to the throne room of grace and mercy that individual. So let's turn with me now to Genesis 18, and let's look at Abraham crying out in prayer for Sodom. He's crying out for Sodom. You see, God knows of their sin. Sin will take you further than you ever intended to go, and it will cost you more than you ever intended to pay. And there were consequences for their sin. And God's about to deal with Sodom. And Abraham is pleading for them. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I've chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he's promised. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin is so grievous that I will go down and I will see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. You see, our sins cannot be hidden. If not, I'll know. The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, this is him praying to God, interceding, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from me, for you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? So what do we see here, ladies? We see Abraham hearing of God's decision, and now he's crying out for the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's crying out for Sodom and Gomorrah to be set free. Now, Abraham has nothing to do with this. He's not part of this. And what we see here, though, is a man standing in the gap for them. And right now, you might be standing in the gap for someone that's lost their way. Right now, you might be standing in the gap for someone who's caught up in addiction. Right now, you might be standing in the gap for someone that is lukewarm in their faith, or has turned away from God, or has a rebellious spirit, or who's caught up in a sin cycle. And right now, you might be pleading for their salvation, or for their freedom. And what we see here is real honesty from Abraham. He questions God's plan. I mean, come on, how brave is Abraham in this exchange? He must have had a really close relationship with God to be so honest and to be so bold. He knows God's plan to wipe them out. But he's saying to God, but God, if you find any righteous people, will you spare them? Will you spare them? And then he continues, verse 27, he speaks up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is less than 50, will you destroy them? God says, if I find 45 there, he said, I will not destroy it. You see, each time Abraham, in his prayers, he gets bolder and he gets bolder and he gets bolder. He continues with persistence. You see, in our prayer life, there's a key word, persistence. If that thing hasn't happened yet, that breakthrough hasn't come through yet, if you haven't claimed that victory yet, dear sister, let me encourage you tonight, keep going. Push through it. Pray until something happens. Push. Pray until something happens. Keep pressing. Be persistent. Be bold. 1 John 5. This is the confidence that we have approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Be bold. Be bold and be persistent. I'm kind of running out of time. I'm going to bring it to a close. Abraham pleaded for Sodom and Gomorrah, but here's the thing. Not always are our prayers answered the way we expect them or want them to be answered. But God knows what's behind our prayers. You see, what was behind Abraham's prayer, really? Was it the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah? Or was it the fact that Lot was there? You see, you might pray one thing, but God knows what's on your heart. You might come to pray and you might be full of tears and snorters and you might not have the right words that day. Don't worry, because God knows your heart. And he knows the intention of that prayer for that situation or for that individual. And here's the thing, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. So that prayer wasn't answered. But God knew the intention and what was behind Abraham's prayer. And what was behind Abraham's prayer was the life of Lot. And we read it earlier at the beginning. We know from verse 29 in chapter 19 that the Lord remembered Abraham and Lot's life was spared. Amen. Lot's life wasn't spared because of anything he did. Lot's life was spared because Abraham prayed and because Abraham was persistent. Your friend, your family member, your neighbour, that situation might just be led to breakthrough and victory because you chose to pray. So we're running out of time, but what I'd like to do as we finish up tonight, we ran over tonight, but I really want to do this tonight. We're going to do this very, very quickly. I want you to pray with each other. Now, we're not going to move into different rooms, so I need you to do this really quickly and really efficiently. If we do fours and fives, so if it's just the wee group that you're sitting with, if it's just the two of you, if it's just that wee group at the back, if I can encourage a couple of ladies to join Claire and Kirsty, I would really appreciate that. Just get together. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to share with each other those people that we're currently praying with. Who are they? What are you praying for? Share with each other. And then what I'd like you to do is just pray with each other. Pray with each other. Intercede. Stand in the gap. Let's go cheek to cheek as we dance with the Holy Spirit for the lives of the individuals that we're going to pray for. So let's get together.